Jai Shri Parikar Shri Shri Guru Granga Shri Shri Gandharvika Giridhari Ju Ki Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai Jai Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Srila Bhakti Rakrak Shridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Jai Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Shri Bhagavan Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Shri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai Nitai Gaur
Hari
Premanande
Bo.
Haribo Okay, well, we're reading from Sri Guru and His Grace. A very opportune time. So where we left off, we were reading a subheading called A Religious Jungle, and we were reading about the modification. Why is there a religious jungle? Why are there so many different religions in the world? Because the original becomes modified. So, from guru to disciple, disciple doesn't follow properly the idea of his guru, some modification is there, sometimes by accident, sometimes by design. Sometimes the disciple may think that it should be different. The idea should be modified. Sometimes the modification is for the good, sometimes it's for the bad. In any event, it becomes modified, it becomes changed, it becomes different. So, Srila Sridhar Maharaj had a discussion with Ananta Vasudeva about this point. Because Ananta Vasudeva was the godbrother of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Swami Maharaj, they were all disciples of Srila Saraswati Thakur. After Srila Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, we discussed some of this before, he said to form a GBC of 12 persons. Instead of 12, Srila Swami Maharaj says, mysteriously it became 13. First deviation. The guru says 12, the disciples say 13. So 13 members form a governing body. As that governing body divides. Five supported one leader, Kunja Babu, who was the secretary of the whole entire Gaudiya mission. And Srila Saraswati Thakur said that he should remain secretary for life. Well, secretary, I take it to mean, and I think everyone took it to mean, he will be a manager, or the manager, of the whole mission. But Srila Saraswati Thakur did not say he would be an acharya and did not name any acharya for his mission, Sri Gaudiya Math. Some of the GBC members divided, not some, they all divided. Eight formed a group that wanted to follow Ananta Vasudeva. And so Ananta Vasudeva with these others, they formed one party, Kunja Babu Prabhu and his followers, those who sided with him, supported him, they formed a second party. Of course, then those parties divided also. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said that of the group following Ananta Vasudeva, they were about three quarters, 75%, more or less, of the senior disciples of Srila Saraswati Thakur, I think the more important disciples, supported Ananta Vasudev. 25% Kunja Babu. Among Kunja Babu's group was Keshava Maharaj. Keshava Maharaj was the manager for Chaitanya Math, which Srila Sridhar Maharaj describes as a little, I forget the word he used, but had zamindar in it. So there was the Math and its properties. And Kunja Babu was the zamindar. He was the king. He was the ruler of the Math, the management of the Math and the properties in Mayapur. But Kunja Babu was manager of the whole mission. And after a couple of years, Srila Saraswati Thakur disappeared in 1937. After about 2 years, Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, then it became known that Ananta Vasudev had an improper connection with some lady, some woman, and improper means a love relationship, a material, mundane love relationship. And so because of this, he became disqualified as an acharya. And some continued to support him. He had especially one very stalwart supporter in the person of Nishikanta Sanyal, also known as Professor Sanyal, who Srila Sridhar Maharaj said was a detached person, very scholarly, and a man of exquisite character, a man of very good character himself. But because of his friendship or whatever with Ananta Vasudev, he supported Ananta Vasudev, even after learning that Ananta Vasudev had an improper connection with a woman, which is a disqualification for an acharya. So, Professor Sanyal, Nishikanta Sanyal, continued to support Ananta Vasudev, but gradually Ananta Vasudev went further and further away from the Siddhanta of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Why would he do this? Modification, deviation. Because leaving the direct instructions, the Siddhanta of Saraswati Thakur would allow Ananta Vasudev to do what Ananta Vasudev should not do. But when we want to do things that we should not do, then we justify them by saying, our guru says it's okay. No, it's in the philosophy, it's in the Vedas, it's in our books. And practically speaking, yes, you can justify anything on that basis. Because who will correct you? Because why? Because, as it's mentioned here, because the Vedas are also a religious jungle. Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had one idea, what it meant, the meaning. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a different idea. And what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Sarvabhauma, after a long time, Mahaprabhu was listening for 7 days to Sarvabhauma explain these shlokas of the Bhagavatam. And Sarvabhauma asks Mahaprabhu, well, you haven't asked any questions. You haven't said anything. Are you understanding what the meaning? And Mahaprabhu, what is his answer? Well, yes, I do. It's very clear what the meaning is. What I don't understand is why you're distorting it. Why are you doing that? It's very clear. And we learn that when something is very clear, it doesn't need any interpretation. Not necessary for interpretation. When the meaning is clear, you don't interpret the meaning, you accept it. Modification, deviation comes from interpreting the clear meaning, the direct meaning. So, we're going to have to include in this, wasn't my intention, but it's on my mind and must be discussed anyway. Srila Gurudev, our guru of this mission, he left clear instructions for his disciples and followers in the form of his will. And they don't need any interpretation. But those who want a different result than what Gurudev gave, then they can only get that result in one way, and that's by giving interpretation. So Gurudev said there will be, he named six acharyas to succeed him. That's not what we want. Let's interpret that. Let's interpret that to mean he wanted one acharya to succeed him. I was reading something today. One of his, some leader in Russia was, spokesman for the leader in Russia was giving support to that. Acharya Maharaj, one among equals. One among equals. Aren't there six? There are six acharyas. Aren't each of them one among equals? No. See, their idea is that acharya, by saying Acharya Maharaj is one among equals, what does that say? Everyone understands what it says. They want to say it, and they don't. And at the same time, they don't want to admit what they're saying. Unique. He's unique among equals. He's superior. Among the equals, he's the superior. That's what you mean? That's what you're saying? That's what you mean? Okay. Say it. Why? All this silliness. So, Acharya Maharaj, unique among equals, or one among equals. If they're equal, why distinguish one? Krishna, one among equals. Unlimited living entities, unlimited spirit souls. Why mention that Krishna is one among them? Because he's supreme, that's why. Because, as we said the other day, nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahunam yo vididhati kaman. There is one, eka. There is one who is different from all the others. They're all spiritual, but there is one who is different. That is Krishna. He's one among equals. Equals meaning that he is spirit, and all his parts and parcels, they are also spirit. So in that sense, they are equal. And is he one among equals? No, he is not one among equals. He is the superior. That's why, otherwise there'd be no reason to mention the one, right? The one is mentioned to distinguish him from the equals. There's like that, what was that book? Animal Farm? You read Animal Farm? No?
No.
Oh, it's so famous. I thought everyone had to read it in high school. They were promoting a similar idea. Everyone is equal, but the pigs are the best. The pigs, why? Because they're the leaders. They're all equal, but the pigs are the leaders. This is what communism is. Everyone is equal, but the elites get to decide how equal everyone is. Right?
Yeah.
So they, who decides who's equal? The leaders. But is there any equal to them? Well, yeah, maybe if you're a member of a specific party, right, the Communist Party, then if you're a leader of that party, then you will be one among equals or something like that. But the proletariat, are they equal? Really, are they? Do they drive this? Do they get the same privileges? Do they get to shop in the same stores, eat the same food? Do they have their foods imported from the West? No, they don't. But the members of the
5 hours to get bread.
Yeah, right. But the members of the party, no, their food is imported. You know, this I'm speaking during the time of communism in Russia and the Soviet Union. So they got imported food. It was flown in because they wanted things that the others were not allowed to have, could not have. So they're preaching a very nice philosophy. Everyone is equal. We're all comrades. We're all equals. Oh, except then why is it, comrade, that your food is so much better than ours? Why is it that you have a chauffeur, but I have to take the subway? And when you ask those questions, there are no answers. Because it is a hoax. So now we've heard that some new, five members of the International Acharya Board that will not die. I compared it to zombies, that they just keep rising again from the dead. It was supposed to have disbanded, had no more reason to function after the disappearance of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, except as I will concede, I mean Srila Govinda Maharaj, after his disappearance. International Acharya Board had no reason to continue, except I would concede to see that Srila Gurudev's will was followed, enforced, etc. But it won't die. It keeps getting a new life, a new life, a new life. And very funny, the International Acharya Board makes decisions, decrees, as if it was some sort of representative authority of Srila Gurudev. But what they decree is that we will not follow Gurudev's will. We will not follow his direction. We will modify it so that it means what we think it, what we want it to mean. We want it to mean that there is one among equals. So Acharya Maharaj is better. There are six acharyas, but Acharya Maharaj is better than all the others. Oh, but if we want a seventh acharya, well, we have a way of doing that also. Gurudev didn't name seven; he named six. But We are followers of not of the law. What Gurudev's will, that is like some law, but we don't follow the law, we follow our heart. If it feels good, do it. I wrote someone an email today talking about this. Hippies of the world, arise. You have new life now in Russia. They're dying out here in America. The hippies of the 60s, they're dying out in America. They're becoming a lost, you know, soon they'll be a lost generation, right? Because we're getting old. I'm of the same time period. But so the hippies are getting old and they're dying off. But they're getting new life now in Russia. If it feels good, do it. Follow the heart. Well, how do you know what is the heart and what is the mind? How do you know that? They don't know. They don't know. Because it's not about the heart, it's about what suits them for the moment. So the rules always change. There will be no consistency because every rule is meant to be broken. And Gurudev's heart, that's irrelevant. What's important is the heart of those who make the rules. And who is that? Well, they think it's the International Acharya Board, but it is not. And there is no rule maker for the Sri Chaitanya, the worldwide Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. Well, no, there is a rule maker, Srila Gurudev. He set the rule. But see, his rule, they don't accept that that's coming from his heart. They think that's some something mundane. If he says how he wants his society to operate after his disappearance, that's to be taken as something mundane. But and the spirit, leaders. At least these five leaders that I'm referring to, they are not followers of anything mundane. They're followers of spirit. And spirit is guiding their hearts. And when that is different from the instructions given by Srila Gurudev, then that must be accepted. The instructions must be modified, interpreted, changed, so that they suit the hearts of the new spiritual leaders. So, I mentioned the other day that Srila Sridhar Maharaj was saying that when Ananta Vasudev and his party, which Srila Sridhar Maharaj was a member of, he was part of that 75%. He supported Ananta Vasudev. He thought Ananta Vasudev would be a good acharya. So after a couple years, he saw what was happening. It was clear that there was really an inappropriate relationship with a woman. And so Srila Sridhar Maharaj couldn't tolerate that. Who could tolerate it? Well, actually, some could. As it turns out, some could. Some always can. But Srila Sridhar Maharaj couldn't. And so, in making it known that he couldn't tolerate it, he tolerated in the sense that he didn't leave immediately. But when it became clear that this was happening and that Ananta Vasudev would continue as the acharya, then he did leave. Then he couldn't tolerate it anymore. But he noticed something also, that if you objected to this, then you were treated cruelly by the followers and supporters of Ananta Vasudev. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, I saw that we were innocent people, and they were ruthlessly oppressing us. Ananta Vasudev and his supporters, they were ruthlessly oppressing those Srila Sridhar Maharaj and those like him who Srila Sridhar Maharaj considered innocent people. That's what you get when you have one among equals. There is no equal. That equality exists in Brahman, nowhere else. And there it's also a hoax, because there that's also full of unlimited, unique jivas, individuals. So it's all a hoax. It's impersonalism, and impersonalism is a hoax. Whatever we want, I'm God, you're God. We can do whatever we want. We're God. We can do whatever we want. Who's to limit God? Who's to say God is right or wrong? I'm God. You're God. So what my heart tells me, that's all I need to know. That's sufficient for me. I need no authority. There is no higher authority. The heart is the highest authority. So is there truth in that? Yes, every deviation will have some element of truth to give it support. Yeah, there's some truth in that. Yes, we are slaves of the heart. Yes, it's true. We are slaves of the heart. But we are not supposed to be just slaves of our heart. We are supposed to be slaves of his heart, her heart, Radha and Krishna. What is guiding their hearts? We want to support it. We are supposed to be sympathetic, like the strings of a sitar that has primary strings and sympathetic strings. The sympathetic strings vibrate with the primary string. When the primary string is plucked, the sympathetic string vibrates with it to give some harmony. So we have a guru, we have an autocrat. Krishna is the supreme autocrat. And he gives instructions, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. He comes in the form of, he incarnates as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He shows himself as the Acharya and the Vaishnava, etc. In many ways. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, what was his answer when asked, how many rounds were, when Srila Saraswati Thakur gave initiation, how many rounds did he say should be chanted? What was his, process? And Srila Sridhar Maharaj's reply, he was concerned that one serve under the guidance of a higher Vaishnava. It was not so much a matter of how many rounds, although he insisted at least 4 rounds should be chanted daily, the mala should not be kept fasting. But to serve under the direction of a higher Vaishnava. Well, there's no direction of a higher Vaishnava if everything he says means I can interpret it any way I want. Then where's the direction? The Vaishnava says, bring me water. And you bring milk. Because your heart told you, it'll be better. Obviously, milk is better than water. What if the Vaishnava is allergic to milk? Is it better then? Whatever the reason, the Vaishnava is asking for water. If you bring milk, you're not. You may be following your heart, but you're not following his heart. Then what's the benefit? Then what is that called? Srila Sridhar Maharaj named it for what it is: karmakanda. When you try to impose your idea upon the guru or the higher Vaishnava, specifically upon the guru, that's karmakanda. That's what you get. Karmakanda. What does that mean? Mundane, materialistic. It's material. And Guru says that there shall be 6 acharyas, but that's not what someone wants. Then we'll impose our will upon our guru, and instead of 6, we'll make 1. And if we can't get that, we'll do the best with what we're able to manage. Oh, someone is not following that. Giri Maharaj, he's following his heart. Nah, that's not allowed. Why is he following his heart? That's illegal. He must follow our hearts. Our hearts say 1, not 6. Giri Maharaj, doesn't he know he should be following the hearts of the leaders? Not the heart of Gurudev, as he says in his instruction. So, I define this as hippieism. Prabhupada did not like hippies. He liked hippies. He didn't like the ideas of the hippies. Because the idea of the hippie was, here is their philosophy. If it feels good, do it. That's the philosophy. But for God's sakes, man, if you interfere with what feels good, you're going to come out on the short end of that deal. Then if you take their dope away from them, then be prepared for a fight, a battle. At least be prepared to be called a pig or some other harsh name like that, right? Because you dare interfere with what they want, with what their heart wants. Well, this is why this is nonsense. This is foolishness. And the same hippies who are enjoying the free love fest and the free concerts, etc., etc., if they're growing marijuana in the field and you steal it, if you take it, then they'll shoot you. Then the peace and loveniks are suddenly ready to kill because you're interfering with what they want. Then how in the protest, they're putting the flower in the barrel of the gun of the soldier. Love, make love, not war. Right? Make love, not war. That was their chant. Make love, not war. Oh, okay. Now, because I love you, I see this marijuana smoking is bad for you. I'm taking it away. No, no. I kill you. No, your idea of love is not my idea of love. Therefore, I make war on you. Because that's what the material world is about. Whether it's the soldier's material consciousness or the hippie's material consciousness, it's all material consciousness. The material consciousness is, don't interfere with my sense enjoyment. Don't interfere with me getting what I want. I want this land. One country is fighting for the land of another country, or land that was previously belonged to their country, or whatever. Everyone is, making... creating borders, constantly new borders are formed and broken and changed and everything, and then there's fighting, etc. All of this, over some property. So that's what the military is doing, mostly, or something like that. And this is the world of ideas also. What are they fighting about? They're not fighting actually over land. They're fighting over the idea of the land. It's our land. That's what they're fighting over. It can't be your land, it's my land. And why should it be my land? Because I want to enjoy with it. I want to exploit the resources. I want to grow something on it or whatever. I want to build a house on it. So it's my land. You can't take it, it's mine. If it was yours, then no one could take it. It's like everything is Krishna, so no one can take it. It will always be Krishna's. Everything will always be his. No one can take it from him because it's really his. We may claim it's ours, but it's not ours. If it was ours, it could never be taken away, and we would never have to leave it. But we only have it for a short period of time, 50 years, 20 years, 100 years, right? And then it's ours. Well, then what happens to it? After you die, is it yours? No, it's Krishna's. Krishna, it's his. So don't interfere. So what is it? It's to justify sense enjoyment, sense gratification. A philosophy is created. If it feels good, do it. I'm God, you're God. We're all God. We can do whatever we want because that's God's position. He has the right to do whatever he wants. Whatever makes him feel good, he has the right and the ability to do it. So we're all little gods. Let us be little gods, and whatever feels good to us, we will do that. If it hurts someone else, that's irrelevant. If it oppresses someone else, that's irrelevant. Because it's not a philosophy of universal love. It's a hoax. It's a philosophy to control others, to get what you want through a philosophy. We want, our philosophy is, if it feels good, do it. Now, what was Prabhupada's counter to this philosophy? So, if I kick on your face, will you accept it? What will make me feel good is kicking on your face. Do you accept that? No. It's not what makes you feel good that's correct philosophy. It's what makes me feel good that's correct philosophy. I don't feel good being kicked on the face by you. So you have to follow my philosophy of what feels good. That means dictator. It means bunch of little dictators. But dictators that don't want to admit they're dictators. That's the fun. That's the joke. There's a bunch of little dictators. What feels good to them, they demand that you accept it. Why should I accept it? Because you would be cruel not to. Why would you deny me what feels good? If you deny what feels good to me, you're a cruel person. Right? Isn't that the idea? You can't deny me what feels good. So, in the present state here, we're watching the disintegration of our guru's mission. Just as we're talking about the disintegration, we know the history of the disintegration of the Gaudiya Math, the fractionalization of the Gaudiya Math, and we're viewing that from history. And now, we're part of the history. We're seeing the breakup of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, the great worldwide mission established by Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Govinda Maharaj. It is being broken to pieces. And why is it being broken to pieces? Because the heart's desire of Srila Govinda Maharaj, his heart's desire, that there will be six acharyas and they will initiate, they will succeed him, and they will form an acharya sabha and consult with each other on spiritual matters and give guidance to all other boards. That part of the will doesn't feel good to a few people, a few leaders. So it's thrown out, it's changed. And in changing it, they have to oppress people like me, ruthlessly. And what do I mean, ruthlessly? Well, they have to say, they have to justify themselves, they have to justify what they're doing, and the only way they can justify what they are doing is to discard someone like myself. And not even someone like myself, myself specifically. Because I dared to ask the question, why is a non-acharya present in a meeting of the acharyas? Why is Goswami Maharaj, who was not named as an acharya, present in a meeting of the, what is supposed to be a meeting of acharyas? Well, that, so then what was the response to that? Goswami Maharaj gave the response. Giri Maharaj, if you do not accept this, then do not expect, do not accept what? That Acharya Maharaj will be the only acharya of the mission, and everyone will defer to him. What is Goswami Maharaj telling me? If I do not defer to Acharya Maharaj, I will be ruthlessly suppressed, oppressed, ruthlessly oppressed. That's what Goswami Maharaj told me. Those weren't his words, but that's what he told me. And the others made it clear that they agreed with that. And Goswami Maharaj made it clear that Acharya Maharaj would give his 100% support to that. So somehow Goswami Maharaj thought that, I guess he was the spokesman for Acharya Maharaj. So Goswami Maharaj told me, you will not get any support or cooperation from Acharya Maharaj or this mat, Navadvip mat, the mission, the Acharya Sabha, or I'm sorry, not the Acharya, the International Acharya Board. You will not get any cooperation from anyone. You will be on your own, Giri Maharaj. Remember the Pandavas exiled to the forest? That's what he was telling me. You either agree with us, or we are going to exile you to the forest. We're going to ruthlessly oppress you. And make an example of you. And this will be good to show others that they better follow us, or they will be similarly oppressed and exiled, etc. So the wheels were, so that was, you know, almost a year and a half ago. That was on around April 10th or so of last year. And the oppression has continued. And for those of you who don't know, none of them will speak to me. Okay, now, and they are justifying why they will not speak to me, because they consider that I am at least, well, actually, I don't know why all of them. Janardan Maharaj has told me clearly, I am offensive. That's why. Giri Maharaj is offensive. So he, Janardan Maharaj, can't speak to someone like an offender like myself. That he said, oh, Giri Maharaj, I think there is some hidden Ramachandra Puri conception there with Giri Maharaj. So those of you who know our Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., then you know that this Ramachandra Puri was a great offender to his guru, the great acharya of our Sampradaya, Sri Madhavendra Puri. Ramachandra Puri was a great offender. And ironically, what was his offense? That he was telling Madhavendra Puri to accept the conception of Mayavad. Impersonalism. Accept the philosophy of impersonalism, then Madhavendra Puri, you won't have to cry for anything. You're feeling so much distress over your separation from the Lord and his devotees. You're feeling separation from Krishna. There's no need for that. Everything is one. Everything is good. Everything is happy. No need to cry. So Madhavendra Puri, hearing this, threw him out. Get out of my sight. I don't want to see your face. And that is what Sripad Janardan Maharaj is saying about me, Giri Maharaj. I am that type of person. And what else? That in when Ramachandra Puri went to visit Mahaprabhu and his associates, he created so much trouble for them because he was trying to impose his impersonal idea upon them. And what was that impersonal idea? Renunciation. So he didn't like that Mahaprabhu, a sannyasi, was eating too many sweets or eating too much Jagannath prasadam, etc., etc., different things like this. So everyone was living in fear of Ramachandra Puri. So he made the devotees of Mahaprabhu very unhappy. And this is Janardan Maharaj's idea about me, Giri Maharaj. I am such an offender. Why am I an offender? Because I say the truth. The truth is that Gurudev made a will, and that will came from the heart of our guru, Srila Govinda Maharaj. Where else did it come from? When he composes a shloka, it comes from his heart. If he writes a preface, an introduction to a book, that's coming from his heart. What is it about the words that are written by him or instructed to be written by him that converts the words of the will into something mundane that require interpretation, but the words of the preface to a book, the words of a shloka, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Swami Sri Bhaktivedanta Prabhupadaya Te Namaha. Is this next? Will that be the next thing? Oh, that thing that Gurudev wrote, that should not be accepted as valid. No one should take that seriously. Well, what are you going to take seriously? After my disappearance, I have no way to enforce my desires on my followers after my disappearance. My hope is they will follow this will which states my desires. And it's very simple and it's very easy to understand. It's in simple English. And mysteriously, as 12 became 13 for Gaudiya Math, 6 has become 1, 1 has become 7, and we will see how many more, how many other different ways this simple document will be modified, will be interpreted, so that a few deviants can get what they want. Deviant sounds like a harsh word, but it's the correct word. One who deviates, he's a deviant. So they are deviating. And anyone who doesn't want to deviate with them, then they will be ruthlessly oppressed. They will be unwanted, discarded members of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. They will be criticized and labeled as offenders, etc., because they believe that what Srila Gurudev put in his will is the expression of his heart. And we, as his followers, would like to follow the direction of his heart. Well, this is an example how modification occurs and why it occurs. Misunderstanding, sometimes misunderstanding. But when it, in any event, better to just follow the directions of the guru. We are, Krishna is autocrat, guru is autocrat. We are followers of an autocrat. We are not followers of whimsy. Followers of the mind. When Srila Govinda Maharaj came to the mat of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and asked to stay in the mat, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj asked him, yes, can you leave the dictation of your mind and follow me? What I say, can you follow that? Yes. Oh, then you can stay. And to another disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Chutananda Prabhu, when he went to stay at Srila Sridhar Maharaj's mat, Srila Sridhar Maharaj asked him a similar question. What I say, you must follow that, whether it is whimsical or whimsical. Can you do that? Yes, I can do that. I will do that. Okay, then you can stay. But now Gurudev is telling us to follow something. And does it matter whether it's whimsical or whimsical? That's our interpretation. Someone interprets, it's whimsical. It's, you know, so we don't have to follow it. And same people, like Goswami Maharaj, saying, anyone who doesn't accept Acharya Maharaj as the successor of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, Srila Sridhar Maharaj will drag him out from this mat. Why would Srila Sridhar Maharaj do that? If someone is following, can't everyone follow their heart? And not if someone's heart doesn't accept Acharya Maharaj as the successor of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat? Why isn't that allowed? No, that will, severe consequences will ensue. But the same person, Goswami Maharaj, and his followers, Janarda Maharaj, Ashram Maharaj, Avaduta Maharaj, Acharya Maharaj, they're, as well as I can see, they're following him. And they are the exceptions. They don't have to follow Srila Gurudev's instructions. They won't be dragged out of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, they're thinking. They won't be dragged out if they don't follow Srila Govinda Maharaj's instructions. Because they are privileged, they are elites, they are different from us mortals. They are gods descended on this earth for the purpose of directing us, bestowing their blessings, as they say, as they've said. They are gods descended on this earth to bestow their blessings upon us, the mere mortals, the other acharyas who are not the one among the equals. Oh, it's so lovely. It's so beautiful, isn't it? So nice.
So
when one has such
love,
such audacity, such confidence. The messiahs of the world. Messiahs of the world, unite. We know what is good for everyone. We will modify, we will change, we will convert everything to our interpretation. We will what is clear, we will interpret. What is unclear, we will give the meaning. Everything will be decided by us. So, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, when confronting Ananta Vasudev, later on, some time when he was trying to effect a compromise to divide the properties of the Gaudiya Math, Srila Sridhar Maharaj found that Ananta Vasudev, like he had shown previously, had another philosophical point in difference from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Previously, Ananta Vasudev, during the time of Saraswati Thakur, had said something like this, that this was whimsical or illogical, irrational, to accept the conclusion of the Vedas when the Vedas say such things as Rahu is devouring the moon. To explain a lunar eclipse, the Bhagavatam says, Rahu is devouring the moon. Rahu is eating the moon, swallowing the moon, right? Something like that. And so Ananta Vasudev thought, oh, this is silly. What? How silly? Like the devotees or others, like those who think, oh, Prabhupada, he's Swami Maharaj, silly to say that you can't go to the moon. This is like silliness or something. Well, this is what Ananta Vasudeva was saying. The Vedas say that you can't go to the moon by spaceship. It's subtle. It's a subtle plane of existence. You can't go there with a physical material made of steel and aluminum. You can't go there that way. And so Swami Maharaj, he believes that. He has faith in the vision, not of the scientists, but of Shukadev. So Shukadev says that the moon is the place of Chandra, Chandra Loka. It's inhabited by people in subtle bodies. And it's a planet of more subtle substance than this earthly planet. So then naturally, then you cannot go there with a contrivance manufactured from the materials of this earthly planet, this earth. And not only that, but the sun is too distant from the earth, so to be visited by even the rocket ships of the earth. The sun is too distant for that by the calculation of the scientists. But Shukadev says that the moon is farther away than the sun. And Prabhupada believed that. So that was one reason why the astronauts could not go to the moon. They cannot go the distance of the sun. The moon is farther away. Then naturally they cannot go to the moon. It's farther away. They can't reach the sun. Then how are they going to go farther than that? So, So these ideas are expressed. Ananta Vasudeva saying, oh, this is silliness. This is foolishness. And Srila Sridharmaraj defended the statements of Shukadeva and the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the basis of his defense was that what the sages reveal to us, what they are showing us as their vision, that is the that is the actual reality. That is, and our faith must be with them, because they are seers of the truth. They know what is reality. We do not know. If we knew, we would not have any question about it. We have so many questions. So the seers of the truth, Shukadev, Vyasadev, etc., our acharyas, they are seeing things as some reality. We may not understand it. That's okay. We don't understand it. But we still should support it. Because only faith produces faith. Only bhakti produces bhakti. Those who have such faith, such devotion, our job is to support them, not to be their detractors, but to be their supporters. So Swami Maharaj was their supporter. Saraswati Thakur was their supporter. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was their supporter. Ananta Vasudeva was a detractor. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj defended the explanation of Shukadeva. And Saraswati Thakur supported him. Who made that defense, Saraswati Thakur, supported Srila Sridhar Maharaj and his reasoning. So, later, now after the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Ananta Vasudeva is putting another doubt into the environment. Oh, some of the books that we are claiming to have come from some spiritual author like Lord Brahma, the Brahma Sanghita. I think it was actually not, in reality, was not done by Lord Brahma. This is something manufactured recently by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maybe he wrote it. And another book, Ananta Sanghita. And Ananta Vasudeva is saying, oh, this is manufactured. And these 108 sannyas names, really they don't exist in the Vedas. This is some new invention. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj mounted the same argument once again. What is in the mind, what is in the clear mind, the unpolluted mind of the Vaishnava, that is the reality. Where are the Vedas coming from? You say it's not in the Vedas. Where do the Vedas come from? They come from the clear, pure mind, unpolluted mind, spiritual thinking of a Vaishnava. That's where the Vedas come from. A Vaishnava such as Vyasadeva, Vaishnava such as Shukadeva Goswami, etc. So, Srila Sridhar Maharaj's argument was, what comes similarly, whether it's 1,000 years ago, or 10,000 years ago, or 100,000 years ago, or 1,000,000 years ago, if it comes yesterday from the mind of a Vaishnava, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or like our Guru Maharaj, Srila Saraswati Thakur, I accept that revelation to be just as real as the revelation of Vyasadeva or Shukadeva. And Ananta Vasudeva, the poor man, What was his response? Well, he half agreed. He was kind of on the right track, but as I said the other day, he understands the philosophy, but not the Siddhanta. So Ananta Vasudev got the point. Yes, what you say, I can accept that as true. If he is Swarup Siddhi, if he is a Swarup Siddha, meaning Saraswati Thakur, if he is a Swarup Siddha, then what you say is true. Then his revelation is non-different from that of Vyasadeva, and it must be accepted as Shastra, as Veda. And Srila Shiramari said, when he said that, they both became silent. Because Srila Shiramari said, obviously, he did not accept Saraswati Thakur as a Swarup Siddha, a disciple of Saraswati Thakur. Ananta Vasudev, who knew the mind of Saraswati Thakur when he was giving a lecture, which way, which verse was necessary to complete the thought of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to give the evidence to support his thinking. Ananta Vasudev knew that. And so many thought that after the disappearance of Saraswati Thakur, Ananta Vasudev would be the natural choice for a successor acharya. Because he was scholarly, and I'm sure qualified in many other ways, obedient in many other things. He got the philosophy. He didn't understand the Siddhanta. Siddhanta, we must be obedient to Guru. We must always see that Sri Guru is beyond the plane of mundane, spiritual, sensual knowledge or existence. Vaikuntanam Grahanam. What is coming from the Guru, that is coming from Vaikuntha, from the transcendental plane, not from the mundane plane. That is because, therefore, we accept that the bona fide Guru is Swarup Siddha. So Ananta Vasudev did not see, and then Srila Shiramari said, because he could not accept that. He obviously did not believe that Saraswati Thakur was Swarup Siddha. Then he had to go against the preaching of Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. And that's what he did. So Ananta Vasudev, and as Srila Shiramari said also, we were mentioning, when he and his followers began to ruthlessly oppress us innocent persons, then I saw that Srila Saraswati Thakur withdrew from him. He was no longer with Ananta Vasudev. And now we hear the proof. The proof is Ananta Vasudev lost his faith, if he had it. Lost his faith in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Gone. Saraswati Thakur withdrew from him, and the faith went with that withdrawal. It was no longer present. So then Ananta Vasudev had to create his own philosophical system, which gradually and inevitably had to oppose that of Srila Saraswati Thakur, because Ananta Vasudev wanted things which Saraswati Thakur did not give him. And so what happened? He became a Sahajya. What is a sahajya? If it feels good, do it. That's it. That's another way of defining them. Strict following of Gaudiya Sampradaya, we don't like that. We want what feels good. That doesn't feel good to us. These strictures placed on the disciples by bona fide gurus in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't like it. We want something easy, something nice, something enjoyable, something that feels good to us. What feels good? Whatever gives us what we want. So, what felt good to Ananta Vasudeva was to become again what he was previously. He came from a Sahajiya family, and he became again a Sahajiya. And that's what you get if you don't have faith in Guru Gauranga. When you start interpreting the clear meaning of the words of Sri Guru, then you'll get what you want, but you'll find that he has withdrawn from you. Okay, I think that's clear enough. Any questions? Jai Sparikar, Sri Sri Guru Granga, Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhariju, Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parivijakacharya Varya, Ashtotara Satta, Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti, Sundara Govinda Dev, Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parivijakacharya Varya, Ashtotara Satta, Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti Rakak, Sridhar Dev, Goswami Maharaj, Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Srila Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jai Bhagavan Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Srila Satchidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Vaishnava Sarvabhoma Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai. Nittai Gaur Premanande Haribol. Gaur Haribol.